Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. You're tuning into Fire on the Earth. It's wonderful to have you. Well, today we're welcoming once again my lovely wife, Debbie. Debbie Herbeck is sharing with us the last couple of days, Monday and Tuesday, about the work she's been doing for really four decades in reaching out to junior high girls, high school girls, college girls, the wonderful work that the Lord has done through them. And I think if you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs Monday and Tuesday, you'd be blessed to have it. So you could go to our website at renewalministries.net, listen to them right there, download the programs whenever it's convenient for you. You can hear the show. So welcome back, Deb.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah. I thought today might be good to just talk about, you've used phrases the last couple of days like creating places of encounter, moments of encounter. What does it actually look like? And then tell our listeners how this has been expanding, this old Be Love Revolution idea.
Yeah, well, I think what I mean when I say places of encounter, I mean helping girls meet the person of Jesus, not as an idea or a concept or a theory, but actually as a person who loves them, who wants to have a personal relationship with them. And we do that in a lot of different ways throughout the course of even a week. We have a weekly Wednesday night time together where we have Eucharistic adoration and worship where they can come and actually just be still, be quiet, leave the noise of the world around them, reconnect with God and what their identity and their purpose is in the midst of busy weeks and school and all the activities that they're doing. We have a weekly Bible study, which has been going now for, I think, consistently even through the summer for, I think, over 10 years. And we meet during the school year at 6:30 in the morning. And this is so beautiful because the girls actually came to me about 10 years ago and said, we really want to study scripture. And I was sensing that they needed to be grounded and rooted in something as the culture was beginning to shift and change. What is truth and what is love? And they needed to know who they were and who God was through the scripture. And so they came to me and said, we really want to study the Bible, but we have no time and we don't want any homework. And I said, well, let me know when we can meet and I will be there. So they said, how about 6:30 before a school day, before we go to school? And I said, I'll be there. And so we began to meet for some coffee shops, and then COVID hit, and now we meet in our office. And we average every week about 40 high school girls from the local Catholic high school to homeschool girls to some public school girls as well, who wake up early to come for an hour and eat some donuts. And
those girls are amazing to me. It's the dead of winter. Sometimes it's freezing cold. That means they're getting up at 5:30 or 5:15 in the morning just to get ready to go, and because they go right from there to school, and their hunger for the Word of God is really impressive.
Yeah. And again, this is the marathon part. Like, you're with these girls at 6:30 in the morning. They're not often fully awake and ready to engage, but we're bringing the Word of God. We're taking a deep dive into the scriptures and hoping that a lot of it sticks. And girls tell me they feel like they go into school and they really feel armed and equipped to remember who they are, to remember who God says they are, and to remember who God is. And so we just keep doing it. As long as they're showing up, we're showing up. We are currently in summer mode with them, which they get to come in a little bit later. And we've been studying the book of Esther, which is just beautiful to kind of unpack that story with them. And then this summer, for the first time, we began a Bible study on a different morning for middle school girls. And we were getting 40 to 50 of them coming. So excited to be studying God's word together. It's really cute. And so this is the way that they encounter Christ and the truth about who God is and who God says they are through the scriptures.
Yeah, and it's extended also to ministry to the poor and missions and that kind of thing has also emerged for some of the older girls. And
So encountering Christ in the poor, which is a very powerful experience through mission trips to the garbage dump in Mexico as they get to their senior year, but also monthly and different opportunities to serve the soup kitchen. We're doing gardening this summer as a work of mercy. So just ways to, again, forget about themselves, to serve others, and to really encounter Christ and those he loves so much. So, and then they're encountering Christ in one another. We have weekly small groups by grade that they're in where they're learning how to share their lives, how to go deeper in friendship, how to serve together. They serve out at camp and in different places. They serve the younger girls. So they're encountering Christ in one another. And that's beautiful to see as well.
And it seems to be expanding. It's going to different chapters.
Yeah, we have some chapters in different parts of the states and a couple in Canada as well. And my goal there is I'm not in expansion mode at all. I'm just trying to take care of business here at home. But if somebody calls me and says, I have a tremendous heart for young women and I would love to host something, I'd love to walk with them, it can start small. Be Love essentially started in my basement with some girls gathering, saying we want to be together, we want to pray, we want to learn more about Jesus. It doesn't have to start big. It just starts with hungry hearts and other women that really want to help mentor and disciple them. We also have discipleship mentoring one-on-one with some of the older girls, which would look like a coffee date a couple times a month where we're really checking in with them. How is your prayer life? How are your relationships and your friendships? If they're dating, how are you living, you know, chastely? How are you really living as a disciple? And the goal really is to prepare them to go out into the world, whether they're going to college or a different job or vocation, to really prepare them to live as disciples in the world. And I'm so proud that we've got young women now who are doctors, who are full-time ministry, who are lawyers, who are moms raising beautiful children. So to watch them, this is the beloved part. They've encountered Christ, they're living in the freedom as a beloved daughter, and now they're going out and they're being loved in the vocation God is calling them to.
One of the things I notice a little bit from a distance is how supportive families are of it. It supports what they as parents are trying to do at home in many cases, right?
Absolutely. And I'd say, you know, some of our ability to be successful has been to have so many amazing families who are already on the right track with this, and they need help. It can't all generate from the family. But we've also seen some beautiful stories of girls who got brought to Be Loved by friends or camp, and to watch them go home and transform their families into real, believing, faith-filled Catholics rather than just kind of nominal Catholics. So I think it's worked both ways to see that. And I think really what I tell people who want to do something like this, I said, you start small. You have to be very patient. And you have to not so much worry about all the bad stuff that's out there, because there's so much out there that I can't control. I mean, everything out there, it's all above my pay grade, my ability. God has got it all. And we just wanted to create an environment where Jesus was Lord, where faith was present. And girls come into this environment and immediately they feel like, wow, something's different here. Nobody's on their phone. Phones have been put away. People are actually talking to each other. They're laughing. They're smiling. They're engaging. They're worshiping. They're sharing their hearts. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And I can't control what happens when they leave our environment and go and do different things. But the goal is that Jesus becomes so alive in their hearts that they can go back into what I call a little bit of a swamp and actually begin to change the waters of that swamp as they begin to share their life with others.
What are some of the key things that you continue to underline with the girls, maybe key themes and what you present? And even something like, I hear the phrase, so important that they be seen. You know what I mean? It start there. What does that mean, like, exactly?
Yeah, you know? Well, it kind of goes with the seen, known, and love. And I think psychologists and people have identified there's this fundamental core needs that we have as human beings that begin the moment we come into this world. To know that we're seen, it means someone is looking at us and saying, you matter. You're important. And so we teach the girls just little things, and we model it really through the way we try to relate to them. Like, I'm listening to you. Like, I'm not on my phone and I'm not texting someone. I'm actually giving you eye contact and I'm listening to what you're saying. And then maybe you've told me a story about how worried you are about your grandma being sick. And then the next time I see you, because I've listened, I'm able to say, I prayed for your grandma. How is she doing today? And what that communicates in some very small way is you see me. And you remembered that thing about me. So that's the thing about being seen. And we all want that, right? And we all sometimes ask for that in not good ways. Look at me, see me. Girls do that all the time. But it's really knowing that you have a deep fundamental need for that. To be known, you know me. I mean, God knows us more than anybody else. But you know me, you understand me, you know where I'm coming from. And then in spite of all that, and our worst fears are that someone would see me and know me and not love me. And I see you and I know you in all your weakness and all your failings and all your goodness and all your hardship, and I love you. And this is being Christ to others, is to be able to communicate that. And it's very small, but day after day to be able to communicate that to the girls and to see them smiling, to smile at them, to to embrace them, to pray with them, to share their sorrows, to share their griefs, to share their joys. It's impactful and it's meaningful, and it's what we're all called to do as Christ's hands and feet in the world today.
Yeah, certainly you can see over the years, it's always when you're involved in youth ministry or kind of any kind of ministry, I guess, you think, yeah, the thing is get as many people there as you can, and you have big events. The big events can be very positive, but it's very easy to have events like that and have young people not feel seen in the way you're describing at all, or that they kind of hide in the environment because they're a little afraid to open up. So having the one-on-one reality and something, just bring it right down to where they're living and make it simple.
Yeah, and what their basic human needs are. I think youth ministry has, at times, can get a little bit off track, and it's like we need to entertain these kids. Actually, no, we don't. They have plenty of entertainment in their life. They do not need more entertainment. Do they need to learn how to have fun, how to laugh, how to be joyful? Absolutely. But they don't need more entertainment. They don't need every time we meet, oh, we have a bounce house, oh, we have this really fun thing we're going to do, or they need to have time to be with other people who are genuinely interested in teaching them how to live authentically as humans. So I think we have fun together, and the more we're authentically human, the more we can have authentic fun together. But it's not really about entertainment. I'm not here to babysit girls. I'm here to help them know Jesus. And so I think that's important. I think we really try not to put our girls in front of more screens. I think sometimes the church has opted out for that kind of ministry, and there's been some wonderful things that have done, but our kids don't need to be taught the faith through more screens. We're not trying to do catechesis as much as we are trying to do evangelization mm-hmm. and bring them to the person of Christ. We want to teach some things for sure, but the faith is more often caught than it is taught. And so we're trying to keep them away from screens. We try not to use a lot of technology. We try and be a presence on social media, but more in an informative way than drawing them back into screens. We want them to talk to each other and to talk to the Lord.
If those who are listening want to know a little bit more about the Be Love Revolution, how can they find it and what's there?
Yeah, if you go to our website, BeLoveRevolution.com, and just, it says a lot about what we do and what can easily be replicated by, as I said, those who really have a heart for young women and to really walk with them. Can reach out to me via email and just say, hey, I'm interested in hearing and knowing more about this as well. There's so much good that's happening in the church for young people, and I think we can easily get discouraged by what isn't happening. But it's, as Mother Teresa, I'm going to go back to her, so wrapping it up, her image that I learned so long ago of this ripple effect. She said, if you cast a stone upon the water, you see that ripple effect that happens as it grows. And that's what we've really seen with Camp and Be Love, is this generational reality, the legacy that gets passed on, the just being attentive to the person right in front of you and watching how that ripples out. And it takes time and it takes patience, but it does work. I'm convinced of it. And I have given my whole life to making this a reality.
Yeah. Well, Deb, thanks for taking the time this week to share with us. I'm so proud of you and the work
thanks.
That you're doing and your team. And friends, you know, the Lord is near. I think if just browsing that website, I think will just encourage you about what's possible, because there's a lot of discouragement on adults at what's possible with young people. Always remember they're made for the love of God, and bringing them into environments where they can experience it is so critical. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.